Station of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal. Let's
go!
Thursday installment of the Sports Hub officially underway on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. It's our daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Busy show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk Webster Golf as Tim Lesner, he'll be joining us over the phone line. Quarter past the hour, we'll be joined live in studio as the outgoing AD and soon-to-be girls basketball coach for Redfield, Dawn Seiler. She'll be joining us live in studio as well. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are things with you?
We're doing good this morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Happy Thursday here, and looking forward to the weekend ahead of us. We've got Memorial Day weekend. This is the quote-unquote official start to summer, if you will.
I actually saw a story today. According to a new survey, May 21st is when people think summer actually starts, but the official start of summer is June 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get to Memorial Day weekend, people are like, that's the unofficial start of summer. So, yeah. I mean, Memorial Day is going to be 90.
Yeah, it's going to be a warm one for sure. It's going to be a gorgeous weekend, in particular Saturday and Sunday. Monday, a little steamy. Yeah, upper 80s, maybe even flirting with 90 there a little bit, but maybe a great place to go is the lake, you know?
Mm.
I would imagine the water's going to be pretty cold, but if you want to beat the heat, that's one way to do it. One way to do it, for sure. So, you any plans for the weekend?
Not yet. I'm still kind of just figuring things out. I'll come up with something. I'll probably golf a day or two.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that at all. All right, loaded show for you here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's go ahead and get to the jump with my guy, the Cobra, here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And you said it to me off the air, and I'll share it on the air because it's true. You know, Ron Colley, their golf squad, their girls, they just continue to roll as they hit the road down I-29 yesterday to Del Rapids at Rocky Run Golf Course, and they brought their A game, certainly, and they won the Region 1A Tournament Championship there. It was a perfect day for golf, for sure, and Ron Colley finished 9 strokes ahead of second place Madison, 62 strokes ahead of third place Sioux Valley. Both the Bulldogs and Cossacks, those squads have officially qualified for the state tournament, as did Ron Colley, of course. Individually, Madison's Sienna Maxwell, the medalist for the day, a 9-over-81. Ron Colley's Grace Sire finished in second, 1 stroke off the lead. Kensley Heath of Sisseton, third, 2 strokes off of first place. Ron Colley also saw Claire Crawford and Mackenzie Wegehop, 4th and 5th place, respectively. You can check out the individual leaderboard and all the team scores there on our website on hubcityradio.com. But a really, really quality event once again for Aberdeen Ron Colley. And a lot of these gals are going to the state tournament here in a couple weeks. And congratulations to Coach Murdy's crew.
Yeah, they've just been the model of consistency, if you will, all throughout the season. Another team victory for them, and another scenario where you see multiple golfers in the top 10 to 12. It's just incredible what they've been able to do this year. Congratulations on the team and the individuals that have been qualified for the state tournament. And I've been mentioning it now. You get that little layoff now between now and the state tournament there next weekend or next week. So you got to be able to, because I feel like it just goes at a million miles an hour and then the season comes to a close and it's like you got to ramp it back up for the state tournament. Not to say that, I mean, all these golfers are playing golf on their downtime, but you maybe lose that competitive team aspect because you're not officially having meets, if you will. So looking forward to seeing how they shake out. But what we do know for sure is a lot of good Aberdeen Rock Holly golfers and, really awesome season for Coach Murdy and crew.
And the following Roncalli Cavaliers have officially qualified for the state tournament. You've got Gray Sire, Claire Crawford, Mackenzie Wegehop, Ava Danielson, as well as Morgan Helms. They're all officially qualified for the state tournament there. A lot of other local athletes, I do believe, qualified for the state tournament as well, although technically the team did not. They still have individuals like Kensley Heath. They're of Sisseton. You also have Elliot Hortness there of Sisseton. She finished in eighth place there yesterday. Groton, they got a couple as well. You've got Carly Johnson. She finished in 13th place yesterday, as well as Claire Schulke. The top 18 make state for there for this region, if you will. And Zora Henrik, also there from Milbank as well. So a lot of really quality golfers will be heading all the way down south to North Sioux City at Two Rivers Golf Course. What do you know about that?
Not much. I think I broadcasted a football game there once out in that area. But is that where Dakota Valley is at?
That sounds right.
Okay, because I did a Dakota Valley game, and I feel like when you said that, that's what I thought of.
Yeah, that sounds right. Memory serves correctly. It's around that general vicinity. Yeah, southeast, you know? Let's call it southeast. And good stuff there from the Roncalli girls. Yesterday, the Dial-A-Move track and field meet was held, the last chance meet there, and surprise, surprise, the Ipswich girls and boys track and field squads, they would finish in first place. The Ipswich girls, they won five different events, headlined by Marley Guthmiller winning the 800-meter run, Jayla Stiles winning the 3,200-meter run, team of Kaylin Oban, Shauna Henderson, Isabella Henderson, and Marley Guthmiller winning the 4x800, Jalissa Hudson winning the pole vault, and Tristan Gaditz winning in the discus there as well. Warner finished in second place, followed by North Central, Mobridge Pollock in fourth, and Groton rounding out the top five there for the girls. And on the guys' side of things, Kyle Hedich continues to run fast, man. 100 and 200-meter run victors there for him. Casey Gaditz, Shea Knust, Ethan Wald, and Kyle Hedich, they won the 4x200 relay. And I can't think of a better person to run anchor in any sort of relay than Kyle Hedich, right?
Like, I agree with that.
You need a little bit of space to make up. Hey, just give the baton to Kyle, and he's going to make up some space for you real quick.
Yes, he is. And another scenario where Ipswich is really just kind of run away with some of these meets. And obviously the boys was a little bit closer there with Aberdeen Christian, only 2.5 points back as a team. But we've talked about it before. It's Ipswich and everybody else, it seems like. You get your Warners in there in the top two and, you know, Aberdeen Christian and those others. But, I mean, Ipswich, it's just amazing that they, again, have been consistent. And you're probably dealing with more nicks and bruises in track and field and those kind of injuries. So to be able to kind of push through that, I mean, I'm sure not everybody's 100%, and they're still able to get the job done. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, 21st day of May, everyone's got a little bit of something, I feel like. And it's kind of like week six in high school football. Everyone's got a couple of bruises here and there. It's a little bit different, obviously, but I'm sure a lot of these boys and girls are a little bit sore somewhere. You mentioned Aberdeen Christian. They finished in second place. Luke Kaiser winning the 110-meter hurdles. North Central third, Roncalli in fourth. And Warner would finish in fifth place. High school softball from yesterday. You had a sweep from Florence Henry over Clark Willow Lake, 7-2 and 5-4 respectively, plus May Madness in high school baseball. And regionally, Clark Willow Lake, they would down SBW 6-2. SBW got down 6-0, had a late rally in them, just kind of got quashed late. And SBW, a team that, if memory serves correctly, only lost two games all year.
Yep.
Unfortunately for them, not headed to Bob Sheldon Field in the state tournament.
Yeah, tough loss for them for sure. They were 14-1 going into this. They hosted that. I mean, you work so hard, you host it, you win a game, 8-0, and then you're 7 innings away from qualifying for state, and that's baseball right there. I mean, you have some opportunities. I'm sure they look back at that game and say, hey, I wish one thing or another went a different way, but still a tremendous season for them. They had some expectations going into the year. I think they exceeded those expectations, and they were very consistent all year. But, I mean, we talk about it all the time with baseball. It's just a game-to-game type thing.
Yeah.
If you run into a pitcher that has just been lights out, it's very tough to win ball games like that. I mean, and they get down 6-0, as you mentioned. You're kind of at that uphill climb the entire game, and they had some chances, as you mentioned, you know, looking at the box score and what happened there, but just came up a little bit short. But congratulations to Clark for qualifying for state. That's certainly an upset, if you will. They were the sixth seed.
Yeah.
So the fact that they got to state is pretty impressive.
Very much an upset, no question about that. Coming up next around these parts, we'll talk basketball. I know we're kind of in mid to late May here. It's always basketball season in South Dakota. It's a basketball state, and we love it around these parts, certainly. Dawn Seiler, she'll be joining us live in studio. She'll be the soon-to-be head coach for the Redfield girls basketball squad. She'll join us live in studio after this timeout. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Glad to be with you. It's a Thirsty Thursday installment of the program, which means I've got my coffee here. It's no different than any other day. Coming up in about 15, 20 minutes, give or take, Tim Lesner, head coach of the Webster area girls and boys golf squads. He'll be joining us here in just a bit. But first, we're joined live in studio, Dawn Seiler. Coach, good to see you. How are things with you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. And last time we had you on, it's been a minute now, but I called you coach, and I said it's kind of like being the president. It's always Mr. President. You know, even when you're 30, 40 years removed from the office, you're always still Mr. President. Now you're coach again. How does it feel to put that hat back on down south to Redfield, sounds like?
Well, my staff and I have talked a lot about coach is the greatest title you can ever have because you get a chance to work with people in different situations. You get a chance to coach life skills and prepare people for life, really. And so the title of coach means a lot to me. It means a lot to my coaching peers as well. So it's always a compliment in my mind.
So what do you think made this the right time to kind of get back into coaching then?
Well, it was just kind of a series of circumstances. Redfield has a late resignation. They don't have any teaching or anything with it. And, you know, I've been AD the last 5 years at Aberdeen Central, and it's very difficult to hire coaches, and especially when you don't have any other positions to go along with them. So it was kind of a unique situation for Redfield. They contacted me, asked if I was interested, so I obviously said no. And, you know, they're like, hey, come down, let's take a look. We're really, you know, trying to get some things moving. We're trying to change the school climate. We feel like we've got a great student body. We want to make sure we're doing right by them. Come down and just get a feel for this. And so I went down, and they were right. It was a great school climate, great atmosphere down there. I really enjoyed it, and I still said no. And then, you know, they persisted. And so, you know, finally we got to the point where they kind of pushed the right buttons because it's no secret girls basketball is hurting a little bit right now. Our numbers are going down. Maybe quality of play is going down a little bit. There's, you know, I don't know all the reasons for it, but it's happening in South Dakota. So, you know, is either you should stop complaining about it or you should do something about it. And this is what you can do for right now. So they pushed the right buttons, and they really believe that they're working towards just moving all their programs as far as they can. And so good situation to be a part of.
I don't know if like the mafia Don came to your office and was like, I'm going to give you an offer you can't refuse. I don't know how that all works out, but it's awesome to see you back there on the sideline for sure. You mentioned the last 5 years anyway, as being the AD at Aberdeen Central. What did you learn as an AD? Now it's going to be a little bit different going back to, you know, coaching the kids day to day. What you said in the article that I saw online is you really didn't have that face-to-face interaction too much over the last 5 years.
Right. You're around teams all the time. You're around coaches all the time. You're around kids all the time. It's really different if you're not in the gym at practice, if you're not on the sideline at a game. It's a different relationship. And so we know good coaches establish really good relationships. And so, you know, that's got to be an important part of coaching for me going down to Redfield and establishing good relationships. But, you know, kind of one of my takeaways is I've had the opportunity to work with some really good coaches. I mean, you can talk about Coach Bowden, Coach Apple, Coach Murley, Coach Bindenagle. There's other coaches out there that just do an outstanding job. And so I got to see a little bit different side of things. Get to talk to them about coaching, not sports specific, but learn a lot about coaching itself. And so I'm hoping that's something that'll transfer well when I go down to Redfield. I'll have some, maybe some different philosophies than I've had in the past. It's just good to be exposed to good coaches who have worked with student athletes, and they know the formula to success.
To piggyback off of Tukes' question, was it kind of hard to stay away from coaching once you got out of it?
Well, you know, that is a trick because, you know, I think every coach, when they walk away from whatever sport they're coaching, will tell you that's what they miss, that day-to-day relationship with the athletes. And there's always a lot of bad press about parents and spoiled athletes and those kinds of things. But for every one of those situations, there's a lot of real positive things. And we can't get hung up on those negative things. And so, you know, it's exciting to be back on the sideline. It's exciting to maybe have a little bit different perspective than I had in the past. This is something, you know, I'm going to go and give my best down there and see how far we can take Redfield basketball.
What did you miss the most about, you know, maybe being back on the sideline, as you just talked about there?
Relationships with players, relationship with other coaches, that competition. You know, at the end of the day, although we all compete as extremely hard as we can against each other, in the end, most of us are pretty good friends and colleagues. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're all in the same profession. We understand the ups and downs of the profession. And so, you know, there's a lot of calls and a lot of texting going on between coaches. And, you know, it's a good occupation to be a part of. And I think we're a very close-knit community as well. You know, we understand it's a grind day to day, but there's a huge upside to that grind.
Don Seiler is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You mentioned maybe changing some philosophies down to Redfield. What does that mean to you in your eyes?
Well, you know, I think number one, you've got to take a look at who your athletes are and find out what they can do and put them in roles that they can be successful at. Whatever your philosophy or style of play is, you can go there. And if your kids don't fit that situation, you're not going to be successful. So, you know, ultimately, it'd be great to be extending full court, go 94 feet, yeah, getting after you, pressure, and try to create some easy offense off turnovers. You know, I love to be a running style team. But we got to find out if we have the athletes to do that. I think it's important for me to meet the athletes where they're at in their game today, and then put them in roles that they can be successful at. That's going to build confidence, and hopefully by the end of the season that spills over into having a really solid postseason showing. And so, you know, I talked about it being a grind day to day. It is a grind day to day, but I think at the end of the day, we always have to have, you know, what is our objective for the day? What are we trying to accomplish with these athletes? What are their roles? How can we continue to motivate and have these athletes grow? So by the end of the season, you're ready to compete hard when it matters the most.
You probably already kind of answered this question, but what are some of the first priorities as you know, take this new role there in Redfield? Is it kind of just instilling the philosophies that you talked about, seeing what you have, or is it, hey, I got to find my assistant coaches? What are those kinds of things?
I think
on?
It's all of those things. Okay. I think you hit on all of them. Yeah, you know, I've got to get with the players and see what they can do. And you've got to try to find those roles. And how do those roles piece together? We know there's no insignificant roles in high school athletics. Everybody's got an important role. And we've got to make sure that I'm communicating well, kids understand their role, And I'm never going to ask them to do something that I don't think that they can't do. Mm-hmm. We're trying to build confidence, and I think that's a really important thing. But, you know, also looking for an assistant coach out there, too. So I guess this is a shout-out to anybody who wants to coach. You guys are interested in getting on the sideline for some girls' basketball. We'd sure take you.
Okay, interesting. Don Seiler here, our guest in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Open invite there for the sideline as well. So I'm kind of curious about the student-athletes today in 26 and 27 by the next time that you're going to be coaching to maybe back in 2019 or 2020. Do you think they're a whole heck of a lot different just a couple of years removed from coaching? Are they the same, you know, boys and girls from back in the day, but maybe a little bit different?
Well, you know, athletics evolves. Schools have evolved. Of course, kids are going to be a little bit different. Parents are a little bit different. We understand the demands of the game, and parents right now are really putting a lot of money into their kids to, yeah, you know, get them to move along in activities. And so, you know, we can't ignore that. I think that's an important part of the game. So that might be a little bit different from when I first started coaching. But I think 5 years ago, we were well into that. So I don't think it's a whole lot different. I think there's some things in the game that never change. The fundamentals never change. And you can't change the game. You can't have a different philosophy if the fundamentals aren't there. And so that's part of that success I was talking about, making sure our kids understand the fundamentals, making sure they understand how to play before you throw them out there to play. You know, one of the things I always talk about with teams is action, counteraction. If somebody's going to take something away, we've got to be able to counteract that. And so, you know, those are the things that we'll talk about with those kids. And like I said, we're going to ask them to do the things that they know how to do, build some confidence, and then expand their game along the way. It's a process. You know, I always hope that our teams look very different from the beginning of December to the end of February. We should look very different. And you're trying to build that competitiveness throughout the course of the season. So, you know, we'll have some immediate individual goals right away. We'll expand those roles. And, you know, all the games before Christmas, you're basically trying to figure out, mm-hmm, how this team needs to play. And then in January, you fine-tune those kinds of things. And then February, you want to be playing your best basketball. So I think you always have that timeline in the back of your mind.
It was AAU kind of like the summer travel basketball kind of big back then, you know, 5 to 10 years ago like it is today? Like, I see we've had Spencer Christensen on, mm-hmm, the program talking about summer basketball and travel teams and how that's like a league of its own. Is that something that you think has really evolved, or did you see it a lot when you were coaching, you know, 5, 10 years ago as well?
I saw it a lot, but I think it has evolved. I think it has grown. You know, we see more specialization than we've probably had. We've always, mm-hmm, at Aberdeen Central, emphasized multi-sport athletes, developing that total athlete. But, you know, I think there's some, when you look at South Dakota, we've had some really good athletes on the national scene. And I think that's appealing to a lot of kids and a lot of parents. You know, how do you get there? How do you get your best? And maybe specialization is what they decide. Personally, that's not my philosophy. But, and if you talk to some of the experts, they'll tell you the same thing. Develop the total athlete. Don't focus on one thing. But there is that out there, and I think that's not going to go away anytime soon. I think for me as I go to Redfield, my question is, do we have everybody in the gym who should be in the gym? Mm. Is everybody here who needs to be here? Mm-hmm. And we know that it's easier to say, no, that's a lot of hard work. I don't want to do that. We know that activities are an extension of the classroom. We can teach a lot of lessons in athletics that you can't teach in the regular classroom. We've got to get those kids out. And like I said, everybody's got to have a role. And I think that's part of it as I go to Redfield is finding out who needs to be there, talking to those kids who aren't. Keep promoting those kids who are, keep moving them along, and, you know, see what we can build. But, you know, we want everybody to have an opportunity. And back to your question about, you know, those mm-hmm, leagues and all that AAU and kind of stuff, I've always felt like there's a lot of people making money off our kids. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, as parents, we need to step back and say, you know, what's best for my kid? It's fun to be in those leagues. It's fun to do all of those kinds of things if you keep it in perspective. And that's really important. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell the kids, you know, you can come into our gym and in an hour you can easily get up 500 shots. And if you go to a tournament in Sioux Falls or wherever, you might get 10 or 15 shots. And so it's fun to play. You've got to balance that fun. You've got to balance those AAU type experiences with your own home gym and develop that total athlete.
Yeah, and I think to your point, I think you'd probably echo this, is at the end of the day, the kid has to want to, right? I mean, like if your mom and dad living vicariously through your kid, like, hey, we got to do this league. We got to be a part of this traveling team. It's like, yeah, but does the kid really want to be a part of that kind of thing? It's like at the end of the day, the kid's got to want to. Because, you know, if they're going to take their game to the next level, it's really going to be up to them at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we'll talk with our athletes about that. You know, this is an individual thing that you can do to improve, to help your team. You know, I always joke around with my daughter that she was very limited by heredity. That wasn't her fault. You know, she got in the gym, she worked, because she was as good as she could get. She's an average player. And I really feel like, you know, if we can have one really good athlete and a bunch of average players who know how to work, we can have a heck of a team. So, you know, for me, it's about work ethic and those kinds of things and, you know, getting the kids to believe, and then you can achieve a lot.
When you were officially named the coach there at Redfield, did it take a little bit to kind of sink in a little bit?
Absolutely.
Not so much.
No, you are spot on. It took a lot to soak in. It's like you're going through the process and you're thinking about it. What is this going to look like? And then, you know, when you officially commit to it, then it's like, wow, I'm in now. And now I got to figure out what I'm going to do here. So it's a 180 in mindset. Now I've got to start putting plans, making plans and making that into reality. And so you're right. It's a total flip of mindset. And then you've got to think about, what am I going to do today? What are we going to do to finish out the summer? What are we going to do to lead the kids into the season? Because we want them to be involved in fall stuff. And then that basketball season, how do we want that to play out? And then just to continue to build on that experience for the kids.
Final one, kind of a two-part question here with Don Seiler on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Do you have kind of some parting words to your Aberdeen Central folk? I mean, like you said, you've been a part of that program now for a lot of years, from the AD perspective to also coaching. Maybe some final words, or parting words anyway, for them. And also, what's it going to be like for you for your first game? Are you going to get a little bit nervous the night before? Do you sleep the night? I mean, how do you kind of attack that? I'm sure probably a lot of nerves for the first game. I know that's months down the road,
right,
but it'll be there for you.
Right. Well, you know, Aberdeen Central's been very good to me. When I moved here in 98 and got an opportunity to coach and teach, and then it's evolved into assistant principal and eventually into AD. I can't ask any more or appreciate a school system any more than the Aberdeen School District. I've already mentioned the opportunities to be around a lot of coaches, a lot of good coaches, and you don't have that opportunity in smaller schools. When you're around a school, a double-A school, there are a lot of coaches, and everybody's talking about coaching and what they're doing. And like I said, we are really a close-knit group. And so I appreciate them as much as you can appreciate anybody. They've contributed a lot to all of our programs, and the Aberdeen School District's been very, very good to me. You know, that first game, I'm sure I'm going to be really nervous, but there's a lot of things that I have to think about between now and then. And I think I'd be nervous for the right reasons, and that's that we want our kids to do well. You know, I've done this a lot of years, and I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about what that product looks like that you put on the floor. So for me, it's all about the kids. I just get to be a part of it and enjoy what they're doing. I plan to go and have a ton of fun with them, and it's a unique situation in my career. I think I'm going to really sit back and enjoy it. And take it all in and make it as much fun as we possibly can.
Well, get that foot healthy, number one. And number two, welcome back to the sideline. And thanks again for popping in studio here today.
Thank you guys for what you do.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. That's Don Seiler joining us live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll come on back, take a look at some brief notes, and Tim Lesner, he'll be joining us here in just a bit too. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Tim Lesner, he'll be joining us here in about 5 minutes' time. But first and foremost, putting the conversation to bed with head coach Don Seiler, it's an open invitation for her new assistant coach. And I said to you off the air, I don't think that she's going to have a hard time filling that spot.
No. No, she will be able to fill that spot, I think, in no time. And I mean, she's an all-time legendary girls basketball coach. I think somebody's gonna want to be on her staff. There is just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And if memory serves correctly, 7 wins shy of being the all-time winningest coach for a girls basketball in the state of South Dakota. She retired, and then somebody overtook her. Mm. Now he retired. Eh, guess what? She's back. So, hey, she only needs 7 more wins to get that spot back.
Countdown is on.
The countdown is officially on. Other coaching news and notes. We thought there was a pretty good chance for this, and now it's officially official. Brandon Kusler named the new, well, not really new head coach, but a new head coach, if you will, of the Northern State Wolves baseball squad. He was the interim coach last year. Now, officially the head coach, he got that stamp of approval from Nate Davis there yesterday.
Well, I'm sure he was probably sick of us asking that same question
right.
A couple times. Like, hey, how would it feel to get that interim tag off? And he finally did. So congratulations to Coach Kusler. We had him in studio here last week. And, you know, I think they took some steps forward in the right direction last year or this past spring. Obviously, the win-loss record, you want that to be better. But when you look at the complete season, they had a lot of really close ball games in there. We talked about competitiveness a lot this week, and that was a competitive ball club for Northern State. And now he gets rid of that interim tag, and he can kind of build what he wants to build, and that's definitely going to be something I'm looking forward to with this program moving forward and seeing how he kind of puts his number on it. So I'm excited for that.
It's like that scene in American Pie. To the next step. There you go. To the next step. There you go. High school action for today. The state AA tennis tournament gets underway. Hey, those guys, they love going to dog ears there and having that next step. High school track and field, that's underway here today with the Wendell Gas Relays with Aberdeen Central. The Central Plains Super Regional Meet with Aberdeen Christian, Falkton, Gettysburg, as well as Harriet Selby and others. I just combined Harriet Selby into Gettysburg into one Harrisburg. Hey, that's not the same team. But the state AA tennis tournament underway out west in Rapid after that wrapped up on Tuesday. On the A side of things, and softball, we talked about this with Coach Seiler off the air. They're taking on Aberdeen Central today. Their JV matchup is at Keeler Hall of Fame Field at 4 o'clock, varsity after. She said to us off the air that T is playing early this morning at 8 o'clock, and they're probably done by now and jumping on the bus to head up to the Hub City.
That's commitment right there, that's for sure. I said it when we were talking about it. It reminds me of your T-ball and Little League mm-hmm. days when you're getting ready for a Saturday morning in Little League. So that's certainly commitment, that's for sure. And hey, you're trying to get games in the best you can, and that's one way to do it. But that's a long day, to say the least.
You got that straight. And also high school girls golf, you've got the Brookings invite here today. Aberdeen Central is partaking in that. And the first day of 3 for the NC2A D2 Outdoor Championships also today as well. Coming up next, we're going to catch up with Tim Lesner, the head coach of the Webster Area Bearcats golf squads. He'll join us on the phone line after this. The Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. Tim Lesner is our guest, the head coach of the Bearcats of Webster area on the links. Coach, happy to be with you here on this Thursday morning. How are things with you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And you know, it's hard to believe that the school year is basically in the books. There's, I think, a couple of schools out there that may still have another day or two, but man, spring sports season really gets going quickly, then ends quickly. Have you enjoyed the ride so far for this 26th spring for the squads?
It's almost like it just started and now it's over with already. It's unbelievable how fast it goes, the spring sports, because the problem is, you know, all the kids, and that's not really a problem. It's they're busy in school trying to finish up the semester, the year end. We got some seniors, and now it's just like it flies by. So, and it's hard to believe where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I feel like every golfer this time of the year has been dealing with the conditions, whether it's, you know, sunny and 80 one day and the next it's 50, rainy and windy. How do you think your kids have handled the conditions throughout the year?
It's been a very challenging effort from our, you know, for just getting golf meets in, and then when we do have a decent day to finish a golf meet, it's just a good example of how our weather was. We were at Prairie Winds last Thursday in Watertown, and it was 70 degrees, 65, 70 degrees when we teed off, and that wind picked up to 40 miles per hour. Then we got dumped on with rain in the second hole, and the temperature dropped about 20 degrees. Hmm. And then by about the fourth or fifth hole, it was a dust storm. So we ended up calling it after nine holes. And it was probably the warmest day we had so far this year. And all of a sudden, it was like, we had to cancel it because it was so windy that it was literally like a snowstorm, but it was a dust storm. So we ended up calling it. And then we actually finished up the tournament after nine holes. We went back to Webster, and it was calm, and we got on the golf course and golfed the rest of the day as a team. So it's and then you have the other temperature swings of being cold and then warm, and it's just been a struggle this year. But my kids, you know, I tell them at the beginning of the season, I said, get used to being uncomfortable in the springtime. We're going to practice in rain. We're going to practice in snow. We're going to practice because we have to prepare ourselves to, you know, deal with those conditions when it comes to golf meets. So they're mentally strong because we golf in it, we practice in it, and, you know, we have to handle it.
So. Tim Lesner is our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and I always say this as a follow-up whenever we talk with spring head coaches is that sounds great. You know, it sounds like that's something that coaches always say is we've got to stay mentally locked in. But how difficult is it knowing that, hey, as soon as you get out there, maybe a couple holes into this thing, you know, you've got a 40-mile-an-hour wind, you've got dust, like you say, and sometimes stuff gets postponed or canceled. How difficult is that? Is this, I guess, on the mindset of, you know, 14 to 17, 18-year-old kids?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different if you're an adult. You know, you're mature. You get, you know, some kids, it's like you kind of preach at them, hey, if you can be mentally strong and at these golf meets, if you're mentally strong, you're going to beat 80% of the field because the majority of the kids are just going to hand it out and they're just going to give up, you know? So at that time, yes, we can preach it, but really getting down to it, there is no other option. You're playing in it. We just kind of drill that into them and say, you are playing in it. We have to deal with it. That's just the reality of it. There is no excuses when it comes to this. So that's just my mind philosophy, and that's what I preach to them, and they understand where I come from. So there is no excuses made. So that's just how we have to do things.
Is that the hardest thing as a golf coach? You know, trying to teach them but kind of focus on the mental aspect of the game. Because we talked to Eric Heath last week, and he said that's something that he really wanted to kind of hone in on his team is just how important being mentally tough is on a golf course. I feel like that's kind of tough as a 14 to 18 year old to maybe grasp in the moment. Is that something that you challenge with as a golf coach?
Absolutely. I think that's probably the number one key why kids and teenagers and high schoolers struggle is because of the 8 inches between their ears, right? They get in their own way. You can practice all you want. You can swing. You can hit balls nonstop. But once you start overthinking things, it can get in the way. And especially, you know, you get some of those young golfers out there, you know, your eighth, ninth, and, you know, sophomore kids. You know, it's a different type of sport where you don't live on emotion. You have to never be too high, never too low. But then you see that progression and maturity as they get older. You get into that junior year and now senior year. You know, it still kind of gets in the way, but it becomes less and less. And those types of issues, you know, that you see younger, you have to get into those positions to mature, you know. So you have to get in those stressful positions to, you know, getting to get away from your mind and then just kind of maturing and kind of saying, it's going to be okay. Let's move on. Let's have one shot. Let's not turn one bad shot into two bad shots. So you kind of you get that through them and say, hey, the golf course will dictate how you play it, but don't make that bad shot turn into two.
Well, I'm 35 years old, and I still struggle with the mental aspect of golf. You know, I think it just goes to show you how mentally locked in these youngsters are. It's pretty impressive. Tim Lesner here joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen on a Thursday morning edition of the Sports Hub Daily Sports Talk Show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Am I correct to assume that Seth is your son? And can you tell us a little bit about the season that he's had to this point?
Yes, I am the proud father of Seth Lesner, who is he has really taken on the leadership of his on the whole team in general, just boys and girls, but mainly on the boys' side. You know, he's had a golf club in his hand as soon as he could walk with a golf club. That's how long he's been golfing. But literally the last, since he's about the seventh to the eighth grade year, you could tell that golf is his thing. This kid will, you know, it's usually, you know, you get high school kids, they just want to go out and play with their buddies and, you know, goof around a golf course. Seth is the opposite of this. He is the type of person, the type of kid that he will go on a golf course to practice and not play. He will intentionally go out and practice and not play with his buddies. And not because he doesn't like playing with his buddies, but he understands that practicing is going to get him better on the golf course. And now he's taking on that role of, you know, the kids that are in the same class, and we have a younger team that they see that, and now they're like following Seth, and now they're all practicing and not just running around in the golf carts and playing. And that's really taken, you know, the last few weeks especially, I've seen that big time with, you know, the rest of varsity kids and the rest of high school kids on the team, that they're following Seth's lead on, hey, we want to get better. We can't be playing. We got to be practicing. And with that said, Seth has really taken to, like, he's every year he's jumped, and now this year he's taken another big leap, you know, getting into, you know, he's strong a basketball player as well. So that took some time away from his golf game this winter, but it was well worth it. But as soon as basketball was over, he was hitting on the simulator, hitting indoors, and thinking strictly golf, and it's really paid off because his numbers are gone way down this year, and he's probably won three or four tournaments now, and now, you know, winning the region 1A champ or 1B championship, you know, you can tell that, you know, he's really focused and locked in right now.
Yeah, from your perspective, he shot a 70 there in that region 1B championship. You know, can you maybe walk us through from your perspective, you know, that round, where you're following him around that day? You know, do you follow him around a lot on the course, or how do you kind of do that with, you know, you're coaching the whole team there, so how do you kind of navigate through that?
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up, because before the region golf tournament, I walked up to Seth and I said, today, Seth, I'm not your dad. I'm a coach of, you know, 8 golfers here today. I said, I know that you're going to be successful today. I won't be able to go with you at all. And that's what my philosophy was with all year, because I have a young group of boys for one thing. And then I have 2 senior girls that I've spent a lot of time with as well. And I want to make sure that they're finishing their career on a bang as well. So I kind of made that note of him, you know, beginning of the season, hey, I'm not going to spend much time with you. And especially at the region tournament, because I had 3 boys that were literally right on the cusp of, you know, not making the state tournament. And then I also had 2 senior girls that I want to make sure that, hey, let's stay mentally strong. Let's make sure we're making the right shots. So I spent majority of my day on regions is with the girls, getting them focused, and also the other 3 boys that were my two second, third, and fourth boy, just to make sure that, hey, let's not give up. You're that close, you know. I literally watched Seth 4 shots. And that was 2 chips and 2 putts his whole round on Monday. And it happened to be his best varsity meet, you know, so far of his young sophomore, you know, career. But I have that confidence in that he doesn't need me around. He loves me being around and helping him out, but he doesn't need my help. He's that mature and that mature on the golf course that he doesn't need me. He understands that, you know, I'm a coach, you know, right now, and a father second when it comes to these golf tournaments.
Well, maybe it's one of those scenarios where he feels maybe a little less pressure. He's like, hey, my dad's watching me. Yeah. I got to get this done. Maybe he's lurking in the bushes there on this hole. I know he's watching me, but congratulations to him and the squad here, as Tim Lesner joins us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And of course the home golf course is right there off Highway 12. We drive past it all the time. I've never played over there before. Can you tell us something unique about your golf course over there in Webster that's maybe different than others? Or because every time I drive past, everyone's always out there swinging the sticks.
Yeah, the uniqueness of the Webster golf course is it's kind of like any other. You know, it's the holes are fairly wide open. There's not a lot of trees. You kind of grip and rip it. There's not a lot of trouble. But the thing about the Webster golf course is our greens are very, very small. And they're kind of raised, too. So it makes it like... Like someone said at one of our meets earlier this year, it says, like, golfing on a Webster is like trying to hit a golf ball on top of a light bulb. That's how, you know, because there's like a little patch on top and everything slopes off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're absolutely right. And it's so unique to, you know, because you don't see those types of greens in the area. So that's by far the one unique thing about the Webster golf course is our greens are small and you have to have a great chipping short game.
Well, that's funny you bring up the short game and the greens are smaller, because – I always say, hey, I got to make my way to Webster to play golf. And everybody says, yeah, you got to be able to chip and putt there, because if not, it's going to be a long day for you. So I still got to play out there in Webster. But how do you think that maybe helps, you know, the smaller green and things of that, you know, when you do go on and play bigger courses with bigger, maybe a bigger green? Do you think that, you know, helps a lot of your golfers out, you know, playing on smaller greens, or not so much?
It kind of hurts and helps. You know, obviously our short game or approach shots, I mean, you have to aim small, so you miss small. Mm-hmm. You get a big green, it's hard to, you know, pinpoint the aim at that one tiny spot. Because if you're going to aim big, you're going to miss big. So that, I think that helps us dial into our approach shots, meaning that, you know, those greens are small. You have to aim small, to miss small. So that helps definitely with the approach shots. And chipping, you know, you have to be really spot on. The one thing that hurts with our small greens is, again, you get the chipping around the green. You don't get to have that feel of that ball hitting the green and rolling out. Like you get on the big greens, you don't have that feel. And the second thing is putting. We kind of really struggle as a team on putting, because we just don't get those long 30-foot putts at Webster's. I mean, your farthest putt is like 15 foot. You know, so that it's good and bad at the same time.
Well, continued success to you and the squad out there. I guess the way I gather it, just going from the GoBound website, do you guys have any more meets? I see nothing there, unless you're trying to squeeze in something else before the state tournament.
No, we're, you know, we had region tournament, so there is no more meets until the state tournament, so which is June 1st and 2nd. So yeah, we're just practicing right now, and we're going to get down to Brookings at the Edgebrook for the girls and Country Club for the boys, and get a few practice rounds in and maybe get to a couple of those bigger courses that have the bigger greens and kind of work on our putting and short game. So that's pretty much our, you know, our schedule the next week and a half until, you know, the state tournament gets here.
Well, Matt's got one more before we let you go.
I got to ask, you know, you mentioned your son was on the basketball team, and Webster had an incredible run to the SODAC 16 this year. You know, what was that like kind of following that? Because I know you're in golf mode and things, we talked a lot of golf, but I, you know, I was following you guys pretty good there, or at least the Webster team, and to go to the SODAC 16 for the first time and watch your son there be a star player, that had to be a lot of fun as well.
Oh, it was exciting just for the whole community itself, and then the, you know, the basketball program itself. Our boys team, we've struggled over the course of the year. We're a wrestling community. For the most part, we have been, and, you know, the wrestling is kind of getting, you know, unfortunately, it's, you know, that program is taking a step back, and hopefully, you know, with this, the Sweet 16 and the success of that team last year moves forward and gets the younger generation of, you know, basketball players, getting them excited to get in the basketball court and play. And the excitement that that brought, you know, to that town and just to that, those the senior boys on that team, and also Seth being a starter and kind of being the point guard and leading that team, you know, it's getting him into that position of the crowds and the excitement and controlling your emotions. And, you know, that's just going to help him at every level of life, and especially the emotions of, you know, people being around watching him now play golf, you know. So, you know, he's had success, good success so now with the basketball season, and, you know, that not necessarily that pressure, but that excitement that people show towards that team. And now it's kind of leading and following him on his success as on the links as well.
Didn't he have like 17 points in the first quarter against Brenton Heckler in that region? I mean, I just, like, that gym looked absolutely packed. I was watching the game. I'm like, this guy's hotter than fish grease out there.
Yeah, he absolutely lit. You know, there was a little bit of pressure on the team, you know, going into that game, and where, you know, we beat Britain early in the season, but it was, you know, we had a good lead early in the season against them, but Britain fought back and got the game really close. And so I think some of that pressure of, you know, getting to that, you know, we call it district championship the day before the game before the Sweet 16, I think some of the older kids had a lot of pressure on them. And so Seth kind of felt that energy that, you know, they were maybe a little timid at first. And Seth just kind of took over the game in that first quarter. And guess what? He didn't score a point the rest of the game. That's when the seniors stepped up and they said, and it was their time to shine. Yep. Like Jack Shoemaker and Matt Mount, they came back and they ended up scoring, I think, 21 and 23 points apiece. They don't think they really scored the first quarter. Seth kind of took it on himself there. And all of a sudden, then the rest of the team followed, and it was just an electric atmosphere for those kids.
I remember talking about that the day before that matchup, and I think it was on a Friday night, if memory serves correctly, and Cobra's like, I'm dialed into that on Friday night. So it was a lot of fun there catching that contest, and continued success here. Coach, good luck there in Brookings, and thanks again for being a part of the program today.
Hey, I appreciate having me on.
And thank you so much. Head coach Tim Lesner here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Hotter than fish grease? Where did that come from? Is that a Cobra original? I've never heard that before.
That's not a Cobra original.
No?
I heard that on some guy was doing a game.
Okay.
And he said this guy, he's hotter than fish grease.
East Coast guy?
The West Coast guy.
West Coast guy.
I think he did the Kings.
Okay. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Have you ever used that before?
Oh, no. that was a debut there. I was like, oh, that sounds, maybe I think this could work here.
Is fish grease hot? Okay, let's see.
I heard it on a broadcast.
Yes, fish grease for the oil used for frying fish is extremely hot. The more you know. Hotter than fish. That's good. I like that. And speaking of things I like, that Webster teams, plural, the boys and girls have had a really nice year, and Tim Lesner doing an excellent job with those programs.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell he's passionate about golf.
For sure.
I thought that was a funny story of the region meet, and you made a good point at the end there. But like his dad wasn't, he wasn't following him there, mm-hmm. on that day where he shot a 70, and he's like, "Hey, I got to go and go to some of the other, gals and guys on the squad," and he had a great round. I thought that was an interesting little tidbit onto that story, and he's done a great job with that program, and now there's that long layoff.
Yeah,
you haven't played. You're obviously still working on your game, but their season's done here, and then June 1st and 2nd is when state golf starts. So you got to be able to kind of lock in here the next week plus and get ready for that state tournament.
Not next Monday, but the Monday to follow there on June the 1st. And depends on if you pay attention to UrbanDictionary.com and their definition of hot as fish grease. I don't think we can talk about that on the radio, but that's neither here nor there. We're back at it tomorrow on a finally Friday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.